This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
We've with Brandon Solomon for the month of October. He's a former graphic designer. Together with his wife Candace, are house parents to a group of men who were once homeless, addicted or involved in gangsterism. And they're all staying at the U-Turn Church House in Kenilworth. Good morning to you, Brandon. Trust you're well this morning.
Hi, good morning, Brad. Thanks once again for this opportunity. I am doing very well. I hope that you're also doing good on your side.
Yeah, we're excited to hear what you've got for us. I've got my pen in hand to make notes, so off you go then.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for this opportunity. So yeah, as I mentioned the last time, I really want to stick with the theme being called by God. And as I mentioned the last time, I was just reminding everyone that we need to deny ourselves to realize we are called, and it means so much more to other people. Mm. And God calls us, and He calls us to push us way beyond ourselves and to be way more interested in the needs and interests of others. And that is one thing that we were just talking about, and I know I touched on Philippians, that kind of encourages us to also put other people's interests beyond ourselves. Yeah. And what I was really highlighting is that normally when God calls us, similar to when He called the fishermen, He called them into a space of discomfort, into a space of the unknown. Mm. And I think that's where we need to become. I think we need to get that mindset of being fearless and, yeah, being fearless of the unknown, because that is really where we're going to start growing. But today, another thing that God calls us into, and I think if you do have other people's interests in mind, you'll realize that He calls us to unite. He calls us to work together. I believe that has always been God's heart. Yeah. And the scripture that I want to touch on today is John chapter 17, verse 20 to 23. I would actually encourage viewers, listeners to read that old chapter. What amazed me about this chapter, I realized that this is Jesus' last prayer. Before He was arrested, before He was crucified, this was His last prayer. I know that Our Father prayer is very important, but for me, this seems to be even more important because here He prays for all believers. And if I can just read John chapter 17, from 20 to 23, it says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as You and me and I am in You. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one. Wow. In them, I in them, and You in Me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me." How precious are these words? Mm. Jesus, knowing the end is near, prays one final time for His followers. Striking, isn't it, that He prayed not for their success, not for their safety or their happiness. He prayed for their unity. He prayed that they would love each other. As He prayed for them, He also prayed for those who believe because of their teaching. He's talking about the disciples in that time. Mm. But when He says He prays for those who will believe because of their teaching, that means us. In His last prayer, Jesus prayed that you and I be one. All of these lessons we can draw from this verse. Yeah, there's so many lessons. Like, don't miss the most important one, that unity matters to God. Mm. Why? Because as it says in John chapter 13, verse 35, all people will know that you are My followers if you love each other. And one thing I noticed in this chapter, it says, it's showing us that unity creates belief. How will the world believe that Jesus was sent by God? Not if we agree with each other, not if we just solve every controversy, not if we are unanimous with each vote, not if we never make a doctrinal error, but if we love one another. And it's just, that's the fundamental thing that we really need to get together. We can disagree on so many things, but at least agree on the fundamentals, that loving one another, because you will realize that this unity fosters this belief. And it has been Satan's master strategy against the church since day one. The sin of this unity probably has caused so much and schools more so we lost than all other sins combined. Could it be that unity is the key to reaching the world for Christ? The world will be one for Christ when the church is one in Christ. I'll say that again. The world will be one for Christ when the church is one in Christ.
Powerful.
If unity is the key to evangelism, shouldn't it have precedence in our prayers? Shouldn't we, as Paul said in Ephesians 4 verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace? What he even says in that chapter in Ephesians, he says, bear with one another in love. Yes, I know you get irritated with brother and sister. I know they always work on your nerves. I know the boss at your work is always frustrating you. I know the traffic is always going to take that little, it's gonna take a bit of that joy out of you. But bear with one another in love. Like, whatever the differences may be, we all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different cultures. And that is where that's where disagreements come from, and that's where this unity is fostered. But let's bear with one another in love, because we all have weaknesses, we all have flaws, and sometimes someone has to bear with you and your nonsense. And is God asking us to do anything more than what we... No, sorry. Is God asking us to do anything more than what he has already done? Hasn't he gone a long way in accepting us? If God can tolerate my mistakes, can't I tolerate the mistakes of others?
Sure.
If God allows me with my weaknesses and my failures to call him Father, shouldn't I extend that same grace to others? If God doesn't demand perfection, should I? They are God's servants. Paul reminds us, not you. They are responsible to God, not you. Let him tell them whether they are right or wrong. And God is able to make them do as they should. And that is my encouragement today, is to know that we are called to unite. And I want that to be the prayer of our hearts as well, not just praying for ourselves and for our own blessings, but let's pray that this prayer of Jesus gets answered. It's a prayer for unity. And it's, I believe, especially in this time of COVID and this time of uncertainty, I think this is really when the church needs to unite. Last week I said a fearful world needs a fearless church.
Yes.
But today I want to say a disunited world needs a united church. And it's only when we are united we will stand. We know the enemy's plot is to kill and to destroy, and a nation, a house, whatever divided against itself will never prosper. And we need to unite in this time. And that is my word for today.
Powerful.
Unity. We are called to unite.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.